Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Praise you, God. How great you are. How awesome you are. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We sing praises to your name. We give you glory and honor and praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your name, your name, your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Name above all names. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Worship you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And sings my soul. And sings my soul. Then sings my soul. Hallelujah. It's then sings my soul. Sings my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Then sings my soul. My Savior God to thee, how great thou art.
Hallelujah.
How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to
God.
Amen.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. How big is your God? Amen. How great? You know, it's up to us where we want to define God, how big he will be in our lives. How much we allow him into our lives, how much we pray to him, how much we sing to him. It's all up to us, what we want of God. He would love to have more of us, but so often we turn him out and don't take time for him. But how great is our God? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Just got a text message this morning as Betty and I were sitting there. We want to pray for George and Gail. Gail is very sick. She's been to the hospital a few times on antibiotics. And I know that many people right now are perhaps under the weather through colds and sicknesses, a lot of that going on right now. But let's pray that God would minister not only to Gail and George, but to every one of us as we just come into his presence this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence. God, we thank you for the songs that we sing that tell us and apply to our hearts that you are big, you are a great God. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that the songs inspire us and bring us to that place where we acknowledge you and thank you, Lord, for your presence here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here today. You are so welcome in this place. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just minister to each and every one of us as we find ourselves under the great authority of the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, we pray for the needs of our people this morning, Lord, especially as we receive this text message this morning from Gail, that she's very sick on antibiotics. She's been to the hospital. She's going back to the doctor tomorrow. She needs you right now. We pray. We pray as a body of Christ. We gather around her in our prayers, as we do each and every person who is not here this morning, Lord, that perhaps are sick, going through the colds and the sickness and the pneumonias and the things that are happening around us because of the weather. So we just pray right now for an intervention on people's health. We pray that you would divinely touch them, Lord, and bring them through whatever they're facing. We thank you. God, in this new year, we're just looking forward to some great things. We're looking forward to what you could do through our lives. Lord, we always understand that every time we stand at the beginning of a new year, this could be the year that you return. As we see the signs of the times all around us, Lord, we just acknowledge you as our God and Savior. Keep us close to the cross. Keep us close to the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that every step we take, we take that step of faith, and we walk with you, Lord God. So help us this year, Lord. We can't do it on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. You're our comforter. You're our guide. You're our word, our inspiration. You're everything to us. So we ask, Lord, if somebody's feeling the failing momentum of the flesh and all that's happening around us, let them be picked up by Holy Spirit this morning and let them be guided by Him right now and refreshed in the ways of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for a new year. Thank you for a new year. Lord, we never know what each day holds, but God, we know that you hold our hand. And so we thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Be with us now as we turn to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Praise God. Welcome to church this morning. Happy New Year. Good to see you all. And those who are visiting with us, we're glad to have you. And trust that you feel right at home under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I always wonder when sometimes people come into a Pentecostal church what they expect. And I know that as we as Pentecostals, we believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. How about you? I never know if I'll get to the end of a service. I always say, God, whatever you want to do. That sometimes in churches over the years that I've pastored that I never got to preaching the Word of God. I can remember flat on my face by the pulpit one time that God just moved right in and touched my heart so greatly. And so as you come into a Pentecostal church, I pray this morning that God would just release His Holy Spirit upon you and that you are not Pentecostal or you are some other denomination or you're not even anything yet, that you would be something in the Lord. We always define that as washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and knowing Him in a great, deep relationship. Amen? Praise God. I don't know if the kids want to head off to Sunday school, they can go ahead and do so. Hallelujah. Has everybody made it through and got rid of the colds and sicknesses that were going around? Or are you involved like me? I thought this morning I'd come in and dress up real good because on the outside I look okay, right? On the inside, the flesh is suffering and on some Tylenol and on some fisherman's friends. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. So I thought I would take fisherman's friends to keep the throat open and keep me going. Should anywhere during the service I start coughing, and if I cough my head off, if you can grab it quick and bring it back to me, that'd be great. Okay, so thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to church today. Last couple of years, I've felt that we need to have a momentum of things that God wants to do in our hearts and life. A couple of years ago, I told you that God wanted to have us dig deeper, right? Dig deeper. Last year, I told you that I believe that God wants us to climb higher. That's not to elevate ourselves beyond God, but just to climb towards Him and get closer to Him. Today, I want us to start the new year because I kind of formed this for the month of December. I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. We had a right Christmas. We had a white Christmas. We had a cold Christmas. And I guess that's why we get colds like me. And, of course, being around sick people, all of our family, that kind of rubs off on you because you love one another. We love one another in the house of God, right? So that's why we get colds from one another. But this year, I want us to get to the place of, yes, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas, but I'm dreaming of a right year. Getting things right. Walking right. Learning right. And I believe that that goes deep into the heart. Because I believe this book changes us. The more we read it, the more it changes us. The more we get it into our hearts and apply the Word of God, the more it'll do something in our lives as we walk for Him. And I found that we call this the good news or the gospel. And Paul, after that wonderful conversion on the Damascus Road where he saw the Lord and had a great experience, I believe that the gospel changed his mind, changed his life. And I believe that when you come into that right experience into your heart with God, you are changed. So put your hands on your heart this morning. This is where the gospel has to go, deep and lodged in here. Father, I pray this morning that our hearts would be open. Our hearts would be open. That this year would be a right year. This year would be a year of change. I pray as we all have our hand upon our heart, Lord, that God make this heart tick for you. Make it beat for the inspiration of what you want to do in this life. Every one of us as individuals. God, take this heart in your hands. Lead us, guide us, and make everything right in the way that you want it to be right. So I thank you, Lord. Let the gospel change us. Let it change us into something that you want us to be. So we thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. That's why Paul said in Church of Rome, in Gospel of Romans, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." So it's in our heart. It's in our heart. So would you turn with me to the first book, the first letter of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read 4 verses as we begin into this new year. Does everybody feel good about a new year? Are you looking forward to things happening? Not for you, but for God through us and what God could change through us. You know, it's good that so far I'm doing okay, Betty. Betty woke up this morning and I had a coughing bout there just before when I got up. I guess it's just getting rid of all the sleep and everything like that. And she said, "Would you like me to preach for you?" And I thought that was awesome that she would say that. You know, I was thinking about, you know, she says you could always call Pierre and scare him. And I said, no, I don't want to scare him. But she offered to preach this morning for me. So I thought about that for a moment. And I said, "God, this is a message you've laid on my heart." All Betty would be doing is standing up here and reading my notes, and it's more than just notes. You know, a lot of people say, how come preachers have notes? Because it's where God inspires us, gives us thoughts and nuggets all along the way. Too many nuggets I've forgotten because I didn't write them down. And I'm sad and sorrowful for that very fact, because I keep a pad by my bed, and sometimes at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, like you can't get back to sleep, all of a sudden you get a nugget, and I write it down. Because many times I didn't write it down. I wake up in the morning, what was that thought again? I can't remember what it was. It's passed me by. So I write things down. And the older I get, the more I write. Okay? I'm sure that all the old people in church could say amen to that, right? So this morning, I'm praying that my voice will sustain me and get me through this message, because I believe it's where God wants us to be today. Hallelujah. So are you ready? Are you at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1? "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Hallelujah. This is an amazing book, this Bible that you and I have. Every time we look at it, every message we read, every text, and every Sunday I get so blessed because I get to expound upon a few verses of Scripture from the Bible. And as I expound upon Scriptures, I find like the Word is a good medicine to us. I have found many times when I go to a church and preach the Word of God and I'm sick or cold or whatever, if I allow the Word of God to flow through me, it's like medicine. It's a lot better than Tylenol. It's a lot better than Buckley's cough syrup. It's a lot better than Fisherman's Friends. The more you let the Word of God flow through you, the more it is allowed to do things in our lives of which it can do. And so I always say, you know, I could call in sick this morning and not come and preach at church. I could stay home, you know, and all those kinds of things. I could stay in bed in my jammies and just have a good time in bed and relax and all those things. But I want the Word of God to flow. And I found many times I could walk away from a service better than when I came in. Better than when I came in. So I'm not encouraging you, if you are sick, stay home if that's the case. But if you feel like you need something, come to church, find a little place in a pew where you're not around some people, and enjoy the Word of God, because who knows what may happen to you during that service with the sickness that you perhaps want to stay in bed and enjoy and just take all the medicine for. But I find that sometimes, and probably many times, is that God heals us, because this is an amazing book. It's the gospel. It's the Word of God. And as we open it, we get a glimpse. And we need many, many glimpses of the Word of God. Amen? A glimpse is where you see something really fast, or you take it in as a moment in from the Word of God. Because the more glimpses we get, the more understanding the Bible we get, and the more understanding of the Bible we get, the more we find out about God, and the more we find out about God, the more we find out about His love for us. And the more we learn of God and His love, the better we will be in this life that you and I live. So are you hungry for God in this year 2018? Are you hungry for more of what God could do in our lives? If you were to turn back into chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul speaks of how the gospel came to the church at Thessalonica. He says how they received the gospel. If you were going back to chapter 1, verse 1, beginning of verse 5, it says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power." In other words, this morning, you are hearing the Word of God, you're seeing the Word of God, but something is happening in the supernatural, spiritual realm right now in the church. Do you believe that? As we look at the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, it's being received by the Word, but something supernatural is happening as well as we read the Word of God. And that's what Paul was saying. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." So Paul sees that and recognizes that the word came to them, even though perhaps they doubted, they were skeptic for a little while, but they opened their hearts and they received the word, even though they went through a lot of stuff and persecution and things, they received it, and so they got that joy of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul states again here in chapter 2, verse 1, how the gospel was brought to them and preached to the church at Thessalonica. He did not back away from giving them the truth in spite of what he faced at Philippi. If you were going back to Acts chapter 16 and 17, you would find that. But Paul had great confidence in the power of God. Do you have confidence in the power of God? Do you trust in the power of God? I mean, do you think that, well, I hope God could do this, or maybe God could do this, or do you have confidence in the power of God? And we see that in many of the letters that Paul wrote, that he even stated in Romans chapter 1 that he was not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation. Power to bring somebody into the fold. And so Paul had energy to minister the gospel wherever he went, to whoever was before him. He would not back away. He was not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, like if you wanted to hear the word of God, Paul would speak it to you. And Paul must have been thinking of those enemies when he was reminding the church of Thessalonica that he had already suffered and been mistreated, as he states here in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I went back to Acts chapter 16, and you'll remember in Acts chapter 16 that Paul, it happened one day as he was going to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met him. And it says, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. So this girl, says Paul, followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, in other words, the power of God was coming upon him, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes in them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. All for the power of the Word of God. Preaching the Word of God, that's where they ended up. But we know also the other part of the story was at midnight, Silas and Paul began to praise the Lord. And an earthquake happened and something great happened, that the stocks came off, the chains came off, and a jailer got saved, and all his household as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that Paul and Silas were actually harmed in two ways. They suffered and they were spitefully treated or mistreated. Suffered means that you suffer in the body, stripes or whippings or all those physical abuse that they took, but they were also mistreated. How many know that sometimes we can get bruised and beaten and everything else out there in the world in so many ways, but sometimes the mistreatment is not the nice part. The mistreatment is the public disgrace and the legal abuse and that they went through, and how we get into our workplace or somewhere where we go, or classmates in schools or things like that, when they start talking to us in mean, derogatory ways, when all we want to do is give them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they mistreat us and all those kinds of things that happen to us. Paul said that they experienced bad treatment in Philippi, but guess what? He continued to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not diminish that in any way. And so that's why he came to Thessalonica, and he's preaching the word of God. But then when he got to Thessalonica, and you can read above this in Acts chapter 17, that there they were falsely accused, and Jason was dragged into the very open area and whipped and beaten, and Paul and the rest of them were taken out of town just in time. They were accused of turning the whole world upside down. Wouldn't that be good this year if in our schools and in our workplaces that we have been accused of turning our workplace and the place where we are upside down for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'd like to be accused for that. Hallelujah. Amen. How about you? So as you study Paul's letters, as you go back to the book of Acts, you find that Paul seemed to be under this constant attack for preaching the gospel. You see, the gospel was in his heart. It changed him. It lodged in there. He couldn't do anything else. His life was changed. He was a new creation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel changed him. Hallelujah. You know, as I consider many of the things that happened in 1 Thessalonians, not only in chapter 2, but the whole book, the letter that he read to the church, sent to the church of Thessalonica, was really interesting, because he said his ministry was really public. For yourselves know, brethren, that are coming to you. In other words, Paul did not step back. Somebody could have said, well, don't go to Thessalonica. Don't go to that place because you don't know what they're like. But he came to them. And sometimes we're told, don't go to that person. Don't witness to them because they're just too stubborn. They're too hard and they're too this. And so don't go to them. I always hear when people say that to me, don't go to them, then I go to them. Like I guess, you know, it's like throwing a bone to a dog. I just hear that and I think, well, if somebody thinks that they can't be saved or they're too hard or stubborn or anything else, I'm going to go to them. And it's the same with my brother Les. Here he is saved now, and I just felt all those years that my brother's too stubborn. He's too atheistic. He's too this, too that, and everything else. That was the flesh speaking, but yet I kept praying for him. I kept praying for him. I kept praying for him, as you and I do. We can't stop praying for people, amen? So that's what Paul did. His ministry was public. He came to them. It's really interesting. And his ministry was productive, that our coming to you was not in vain. Whenever you and I speak the word of God, I want to let you know it does not go out in vain. Whenever you send the word of God out, whenever you send your testimony out, how Jesus changed your life, whenever you talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to let you know Holy Spirit is doing something powerful. It will not be in vain. It will never, ever be unproductive. It will return and it will be bringing back something in. And your eyes will be open and we'll see a new thing like Louise read to us this morning. We'll see a new thing because somebody will be transformed. Somebody will be coming closer to God. And so it will never be in vain. And that's what Paul said. That our coming to you was not in vain. Things happened in Thessalonica. Third thing is ministry was persecuted. We had suffered, spitefully treated at Philippi. He went through all that, but you know, he would not stop. He just kept preaching. His ministry was persistent. How many of us are persistent? Don't quit. Amen. Amen? Don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. Don't stop. Don't turn away. Face it. Keep going. His ministry was persistent. Every time I look at Paul, he just kept going and kept going and kept going. But even after we had suffered, he says, even after we had suffered, we brought the gospel. We brought the gospel. It doesn't matter about the suffering that you and I go through. Yeah, we can say, poor me, and we look at all of our stripes and the things, the abuse that we go through, but keep going. Even though you're suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Fifthly, his ministry was pertinent. We speak to you the gospel of God. Paul proclaimed the gospel. Nothing is more pertinent to individuals. Nothing is more important to my neighbors. Nothing is more important to my workplace. Nothing is more important to our schools and our communities. Nothing is more important to the people around us than the word of God. Amen? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. The gospel, the gospel. And his ministry was very plain. Our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. It was very, very plain. Paul's ministry was very transparent. He showed his life. He showed his change in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wanted to show that to the people around him. But there's something else about Paul in this ministry that he had at the Church of Thessalonica. His ministry was proven. How many like to have something proven? Like if you're going to get something for Christmas and it requires batteries, don't you want to make sure it works? I can remember when we got to Jeremy and Holly's last week and we told our son and daughter-in-law that we didn't know what the kids wanted, so go ahead and buy them what they would like and we'll just give you the money. Anybody else do that, or is that just me? You know, it's the best way to do it. You know, we go down there. Have you ever seen those videos where kids open a gift and say, "Ah, it's nice." They're trying to make you feel good. So anyway, I just told the kids, I said, "Buy the grandchildren the gifts and let them get what they want." So anyway, our son and daughter-in-law bought our grandson a drone. Now, I probably wouldn't have bought him a drone, but anyway, they bought him a drone. Anyway, he gets it out, and he wants to get it going, and the thing wouldn't work, and he had to put the batteries in. And how many, if you're going to get a drone for Christmas, you want to get a drone that works. right? You want to get to fly. You don't want just to sit on a table somewhere and look at a drone, because that's what not drones are for. So anyway, it had these four neat propellers on the top of it, and it was quite the thing. And so anyway, my son had to take his son and get those propellers all kind of seated right and everything else, because when he pushed the button, the thing would bang against the wall, wouldn't go up or anything else. He wanted to find out, to make sure this thing worked. I mean, I was thinking, if I bought this for our grandson, it doesn't work, what does he say about grandma and grandpa now? So anyway, I wanted to make sure it worked, and I told our son to make sure that things are happening, go look at it or whatever, do the father thing. And so he went and got the drone working. And next thing I know, that we are all sitting around the living room, the drones flying around and up the stairs, downstairs. I hear it banging at the walls. It goes into the Christmas tree a couple of times. And the next thing I knew is that we're all sitting there, and our oldest granddaughter was sitting on the floor, and she's got nice long hair. Anyway, he brings the drone down. It goes right into her hair, all four propellers. They're all stuck like the drone is, and my son gets up, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. You know, it was a proven drone at this time, you know, and so it was a long story. I don't want to tell you all the story, but it took quite a while to get those four propellers out of our granddaughter's hair. And when she had her hair out and out like that, my daughter-in-law had to take oil, put it in her hair to get all the tangles out. And anyway, it was quite a mess. But don't we want to have a proven ministry? Even though we put the batteries in, even though we go through all the things, and we come to church and we hear the Word of God and we read and we pray and we go through all the things that you and I go through, wouldn't it be nice to see the effects of what we're doing in our community, of how we're doing things for Jesus? Wouldn't it be nice to have a proven ministry? Every one of us, that we'd like to see somebody get saved. We'd like to see somebody get closer to Jesus. We'd like to see our neighbors come to church. We'd like to see things happen in our lives. Wouldn't you like to have that? Proven ministry. Well, that's what happens here. He says, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. So I looked at those few phrases here, approved by God, entrusted with the gospel, so we speak from the heart that is changed. So we speak. Now, I went to some different translations. I love different translations. How about you? As we are approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. The New Living Translation says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. The NIV says, on the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. The Living Bible says, we speak as messengers from God, trusted by Him to tell the truth. We change His message not one bit to suit the taste of those who hear it, but we serve God alone, who examines our heart's deepest thoughts. I like that. Approved by God. The word approved in the Greek is didakamasa methamo. How's that? Repeat that after me. Didakamasa methamo. Good. I'm glad you got that. In the Greek, that means that Paul was tested, tried, proven, put into the heat and everything else, and he came out as gold. He was proven. He was trusted. And I believe that, you know, God likes to prove us so that He can trust in us to deliver the message. I believe that God is putting us through things, even as a babe in Christ, even as seniors in the faith, even as we walk for Him. I believe that God is putting us through all kinds of things, because there's some stuff coming up ahead for us. Who knows what 2018 has in store for you and I to share our faith with somebody out there? And if we are not proven and tried and put through things, how can we ever make it work? Recall how Saul's Damascus Road experience, the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. This is the prophecy that came to Ananias over Paul, Saul on the road to Damascus, but now changed to Paul. This is the prophecy that was given over him. He was ready to put him into ministry, but he had to prove him to put him into that ministry. Isn't it nice that God saves you, and there's a prophetic message that's been given over you in your life? God wants to do something through you. How many know that? God has plans and purposes for our life. He wants to prove us, put us into places where he can use us all around our community and our workplace, everything else. God will say a prophetic message over us, just like he did to Paul, that he is going to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And Paul demonstrated that truth many times in all of his epistles. If you go through some of the letters of Paul, you'll find out many times he came back to that prophecy over him. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." He was saying that God has proven me. God has walked with me. Then over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ." His ministry was proven. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 1, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service." Isn't it amazing? You and I sit here today. God has put us into service. What are we doing with the service? How are we walking for Jesus? You put your hand on your heart this morning and say, "God, use me this year. Use me in the service for the King." Amen? That's the gospel. The gospel will change us. The gospel will transport us. Over in Titus chapter 1, Paul said, "But at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior." Every step of the way, Paul was acknowledging that he was called, he was proven, he was put into this ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man under God's call and under his authority. Are you under his authority this morning? See, Paul's motivation was not to please men, but to please God. "Neither at any time did we use flattering words," he says in verse 5, "nor a cloak for covetousness, but God is our witness." And Paul rejoiced in those things. You see, that accountability came from the constant realization that God knew and examined everything in his heart and his life. Did you know that every step of the way, God is examining and proving us in our life? In Galatians, Paul was accused of pleasing men. Did you know that? Everywhere he went, they'd say, "Oh, you're just saying that. Oh, you're just doing that." Well, over in Galatians, he said he was accused of pleasing men. If you were to go to Galatians chapter 1, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, Paul was being accused of seeking to get the favor of mankind, but he wasn't. You know, we may be tempted at times, put in those hard areas of our life when somebody says, "Why do you go to church?" And all of a sudden we realize that we're tongue-tied. All of a sudden we realize we can't say what we really want to say. And it's like we're trying to get around it, we're trying to beat around the bush, and we're trying to soften it down. Paul never, ever softened his messages. If you read his letters over and over and over again, you'll find that when somebody asked him about something, he delivered the answer by the Holy Spirit. Every time you and I are asked something, we better deliver by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, we can alter the presentation of the gospel we give, but the truth of God, never. We can alter the way that we give the gospel out, just like Paul said, "To the lost I go, to them whatever I have to do to win some I will do that." How I get to cross the gospel. Pastors have been known over the years to soften things down. Pastors have been known to glossen things over and candy coat things so you'll receive it a lot better. I don't know why they do that. I like to just read the word of God and let it speak by itself. But some people like to say, well, I know it says this, but you have to take it like this. I want to give you the Word of God. I know it says this, and you have to take it the way it says it. Amen? That's the only way to take it. You know, sometimes we pastors get ourselves in real hot water if we call it the way it is. If we step on toes, sometimes it's really difficult, isn't it? Sometimes people can walk out of church and I just kind of won't shake his hand. Stepped on toes. I can remember Pastor Bert Lehrer sharing a story with me that it was kind of interesting because when you're a preacher, you know, sometimes you stand up here and I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God. But Pastor Lear, before I went into ministry, shared this story with me. He says, you know, you could be preaching the Word of God some Sunday, and all of a sudden you come into the office during the first of the week, and all of a sudden there's two or three couples waiting for you as you come into your office. And I'm saying, what does that mean? He says, well, they'll come in and sit down with you as a pastor, and they'll say, Pastor, you remember last Sunday, you were just a little bit too much on fire. You know, I just tone it down a little bit. You know, you don't really have to get like that on Sundays and be so outspoken and step on our toes and all that. And remember, Pastor, the three of us as couples, we're big tithers. So, you know, if you don't tone it down, you know, the ultimatum was. So anyway, this pastor was going through all kinds of things. Oh, what do I do next Sunday? You know, they are big tithers. They're big, you know, people in the church. They have a lot of sway and all this. And so it weighs upon the pastor. He was sharing this story with me. And he said then a few weeks later that the pastor came into his office on the Monday morning and three other couples were waiting for him there. And they came into the office and sat down with the pastor and said, Pastor, you're really dry and boring. If you don't spice things up and get going a little bit more in your life, you know, and we three couples are big tithers in the church. And so if you don't get going and get going and moving in the Holy Spirit, we just might leave the church. So here the pastor's, oh boy, if I don't get a little bit more toned down, if I don't get a little bit more toned up, if I don't do this, how am I going to handle this? You know, as he goes through this very thing. And that's basically what it is. I mean, if we are out to please people in the congregations, that's the dilemma we'll be in as pastors. But I don't ever say, oh, that may offend that person or they might hurt that. I better do this to get this person up or whatever. I just come in here and I preach the Word of God and I just bring you the Word of God the way I feel that God wants me to bring it. And that's the way it is. If it steps on your toes, so be it. If it encourages you, so be it. If it helps you in the life that you live, so be it. If it brings you down a little bit to where you need to be brought up, then so be it. If whatever the Word of God does, I just allow Him to go ahead and do that. And I walk out of church the same way I walked in, and I want to do that every Sunday. Amen? So, hallelujah. So don't wait for me outside my office and tell me something, okay? Hallelujah. Paul used the word gospel. Gospel is good news. It's interpreted good message. Euangelion is in the Greek. And then you go to euangelioso, which means to announce the good news, to give a good message. And that's what he was doing. You know, as you go through his letters, you'll find like, it's kind of like Psalm 119. Somebody once said Psalm 119, if you go through that psalm, you will find just basically every one of those many, many verses in Psalm 119 somewhere a reference to the Word of God, whether it's testament, commandment, laws, or testimonies, whatever it is. You go through that, and every verse in that long, long Psalm of 119 has a reference to the Word. If you go through Paul's letters, you will find out many, many, many times he related to the gospel. I preach, he says. Never said the word gospel, but he said preach. And I went through some of his letters. And I looked at some of the words he used, and he talked to Timothy, bring forth the scripture, preach the good news. He went through and said all kinds of things. I exhort you. I declare to you. I tell you. I speak to you. I testify to you. I give you scripture. I give you doctrine. All through his letters, you'll find out that he related so much to the Word of God because nothing he could do to change a soul, but everything he did was to bring the Word of God to the people and give them the gospel, the scriptures, the doctrines, the Word of God. That's what was going to change their hearts and their lives. So he said it many, many, many times in many different ways. And God was the person who God entrusted with this gospel, not men, but Paul worked and lived and breathed and moved towards God, pleasing Him. How about you? Do you want to please God this year in 2018? I want to please Him. See, God owns the gospel. It's His gospel. All we do is we're just conduits. We just transfer. We bring that word along. We just take it and we shove it along to somebody who needs the word of God. That's so beautiful. He owns the gospel, and He was the person who made this world and the gospel and everything else. He brought His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this world, and God would take care of everything that you and I do in this life. So if it's His gospel, if I stand for the gospel, you and I are looked after. Amen? We're looked after. We're entrusted with this gospel. You know, I looked at even that third part. Even so, we speak. I went to the Greek there for speak. And the word is leo, L-A-L-E-O. And it's very close to the word logos. In fact, it's a derivative of logos. And if you know anything about logos, logos is the word or the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, the logos. And so you'll find that. And so even so we speak, the leleo, the logos is what Paul is saying. He wanted to bring God's revelation to His people. It's just like in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God who at various times in various ways spoke, gave the leleo, the logos, in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So what God declares through His prophets and leaders may mean judgment or salvation, prosperity or disaster, and God's word becomes powerful, and it's the only thing that is true in our world today. The word of God, the only thing that is true in our world today. Now, President Trump says there's a lot of fake news out there. And there is a lot of fake stuff, a lot of phony stuff. But God's word will stand the test of time. See, God spoke the universe into being. He spoke it. Leleo, logos, the word of God became to us something that was vital and powerful. He spoke the universe into being. I like back in John chapter 7, verse 46, even Jesus used this leleo. Jesus spoke as no man had ever spoken, and they were all amazed. Leleo, He spoke and as no man had ever spoken. And as you go to another scripture, Jesus spoke not of Himself, but only what the Father had instructed Him to say in John chapter 12 and chapter 14. And so Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, used leleo to describe the gospel proclamation. See, God's, I once heard this, that God's people are a people of the ear rather than the eye. People of the ear rather than the eye. We hear what God says to us and we act upon it to be hearers of the word of God. This word guides, warns us, it saves and restores us. It encourages us, keeps us going. And it's interesting. But Paul is saying here, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Could we take this verse for this year? As God, as we have been approved by God, are you born again here today? You've already come into the family. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're approved by God. You're family of God. You're in the very fold. So now, God says, I want to entrust you with the gospel. Read some of His parables, how He said, I take all my labors and I divvy out to them, and they go out and sow the seed. Read it. We're entrusted with the gospel. So, this is a part that many of us miss. Even so, we speak. And not just in words, it's in doing, it's in showing, it's in just declaring in our life the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are three things that we need to have this year in our life. Amen? I was reading this interesting story by W.A. Criswell. It's many years ago, but he tells the story of a train master who was responsible for the smooth operation of this busy train depot. Could be like a New York City or something else. But a passerby commended him for his obvious display of grace and tact as he juggled his many responsibilities, including answering the passengers' questions and giving directions and maintaining the smooth operation of the train depot. How do you do it? The passerby asked. With so many people, they're hurried going here, there, and everywhere. I mean, they're all disgruntled. Some of them are angry. How do you maintain such composure in the place where you are? Well, the train master replied, "Why, it is no big deal. I do not have to please all these people. I only have to please just one man." He pointed to an office and to a window on the second floor and said, My boss sits up in that office, and it's he and he alone that I have to please." And so you and I, we go through the world, and all the things that you and I go through, there's only one person that you and I have to please, and that's our Heavenly Father and our great God. Amen. Would the worship team come, please? You know, as we go through this world, I believe that God wants the gospel in the world out there. Do you believe that? I believe that God wants this gospel out into the world of darkness. This gospel is going to change our world. This gospel is going to change their minds, their heart, their lives. And that's why Jesus died for you and I, so that that gospel would change them. So are you ready? Are you ready for this year? Are you ready for 2018? Are you ready for what God could do in our lives? Hallelujah. Father, as we come to this communion table, we ask, we beseech you, we plead with you, God. Help us to be bearers of good news. Help us, Lord, to be ambassadors for you. Help us, as you've entrusted us with this glorious gospel, to go into all the world and to preach the good news. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, we can't do it on our own. And we know, because you've already told us, that in that hour when we wouldn't even know what to say, Holy Spirit, you said you would give us the words. So if we rely upon you, if we depend upon you, if we just step out in faith into those situations and those times, Lord God, and trust in you, we know that you'll take over. We know that you'll do something great. So, Father, thank you so much. Jesus, we honor you this morning as we come to this table. We honor you and bless you and praise you. We give you glory. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for giving us the gospel. Thank you for opening our hearts to receive the gospel. Thank you that the gospel has changed us and made us more like you, Jesus. So as we come to this table, Lord, examine our heart where the gospel is lodged. Examine our heart. And if there's something in there that is not right, Lord, there's something that we need to eject, Lord, I pray right now, help us to say, God, forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from this unrighteousness and to remove these things from us and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Father, thank you through the blood. Through the blood, through the blood, we are free. We are free. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As we come to the communion table, I had noticed there's some visitors here. Our board will be distributing the emblems, and we just wait till they're all distributed, and I'll give you direction as to when we will take them together as a family of God. But I pray this morning this will be a meaningful time to you, the first Sunday of communion in the 2018 year, that God would bless, God would touch, God would minister, because we've been entrusted with his gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Would the board members come forward, please? There is gluten-free bread here, should anybody want any. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. This beautiful gospel that changes our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, we often sing that song, Dare to Be a Daniel, for the kids. And it's kind of like you want to have that courage, but I look at Paul in his life and how daring he was, how strong and bold he was and courageous. It didn't matter what he was going to face. Even Agabus, I was reading about him, prophesied over him not to go to Jerusalem. And he says, I must go to Jerusalem and then onward to Rome. He never backed down from a fight. He just pressed on, just kept going. He fought the good fight, as he said, all for the sake of the gospel. Because of his Lord Jesus Christ changing him. And I look at that and I think to myself, if only I could be like a Paul and not back down, not turn away, but to stand boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ in every situation that we get in. I think those are the words that he was saying to the church at Corinth when he says, I've received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. It's the gospel. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and we had given thanks. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake together. Proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Proclaim the Lord's gospel till he comes. To proclaim the Lord's truth till he comes. Proclaim everything about the Lord Jesus till he comes. He may be coming back in 2018. Did you know that? He may be returning very soon. Who knows? I look at all this cold weather. I said, God, it would have been nice before. We're going to have some nice weather now, but it doesn't matter what the weather's like outside. What matters is what's going on in here. Amen. Praise God. Jesus paid it all. Just that chorus part. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah.
Because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white.
Hallelujah. Even so we speak, said Paul. Even so we speak. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for this glorious time together, this first Sunday of 2018. Imagine, Lord, we can only fathom and just look ahead at this year and wonder what you're going to do. But we stand in awe of you, Lord, because with you, God, there's all kinds of things that you have in store, Lord. We know there's a soul out there that you want to get saved. We know there's a street, Lord God, where somebody is living on that street, that they're going through all kinds of turmoil, that you want to turn their life around. God, help us to be the catalyst, oh God, the person to go to them, Lord God. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let us speak forward with a boldness and just a gladness. Gladness, Lord God, in our hearts, so we can share with somebody the good news that changed our lives and can change their lives as well. Help us this year, Lord, as a church, as a body of believers, individuals, wherever we go, to be all that you want us to be, the light that would change the world around us from darkness. So God, go with us now, and we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you.